Good morning. Okay. First off, I'm in the wrong place. In Luke 22:45-46 says, "And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, 'Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" Especially the last verse struck me a couple weeks ago. He said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." And that makes a whole lot more sense if you read the previous part of the chapter, or previous verses. But this is Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's going through hard things, and his apostles are with him, and or his disciples, as he says here. So, what I want you to think of right now is, are you tired? I am tired. I didn't sleep much last night. Have you received bad news lately? The apostles were tired. It was evening or night, and they lived in a society that didn't have light bulbs. So they weren't, I don't see that they were used to being up late at night watching TV and doing these activities. And Jesus drags them off to pray. And he's done this multiple times before. Gone to the mountains, gone to the wilderness. And the apostles are like, okay, here we go. Let's go. And they're tired. And they had received bad news. Have you received bad news lately? Yep. It's every day in the news. Bad news. We have a vaccine. We don't have a vaccine. We have a president. We don't have a president. We got, you know, what is it? And so what bad news did they receive? Jesus just told them that they would all forsake him and that he was going to die. Well, all right, that's going to be depressing. And so they're mulling these things over in their mind. They're tired, maybe depressed, and they're on the edge. But they didn't know this. We don't know this either. They're on the edge. Which way history is going to happen, one way or another. They didn't know. Didn't know what was going to happen. But Jesus knew this. And he told them, what do you need to do? You need to pray. And that's the point of my lesson this morning. You need to pray. I need to pray. This is written for me. Told you before, my prayer life is not all that robust. It's kind of slim. And so this is an exercise in building a habit. So now I'm going to go to Mark 14, which is the same story. Just a little bit different words. 14:37-38. A little earlier, I believe, too, in the story. "And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter." Now, what did Peter say earlier? He says, "I don't care if all forsake you, I will never forsake you." "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Peter's spirit was strong, wasn't it? He was the one that was always sticking his foot in his mouth, seemed like. He was the first one to jump up and to get moving. But his flesh was weak. He fell asleep. He had very good intentions. He still fell asleep. Jesus' advice is to pray. Peter is about to cut off the servant of the high priest. Cut his ear off. Okay, somebody. He's going to cut his ear off. Somebody. Okay. Did Peter know this? No, he didn't know this. It'd be kind of like, how many of you right now are carrying a weapon? Okay? All right. All of a sudden, somebody bursts in the door. Are you expecting to shoot somebody in the next 5 minutes? No? Nope. I'm not. Neither was Peter. He had his sword with him. He wasn't expecting to have to. There's an expectation that you might use it, yes. But it's still a surprise, I would think. Haven't been there when it would actually happen. Peter didn't know that. And then when Peter denies Christ 3 times and that rooster crows, who was more surprised? I think Peter was the most surprised. He's like, what have I done? It's just like Jesus said. All right. So Peter needs to watch and pray, and so does Michael. All right, Luke 22. Back to where I was going to tell you, stick your finger in there. But, sorry. 39. And he came, and this is Jesus, and he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. Of course they did. What does Jesus just tell them? He says, you're all going to forsake me. Well, I'm not staying here. Wherever he goes, I'm going. Okay? And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Joy and I have somewhat of a habit of praying as we lay in bed. She finishes it a lot more often than I do. I have a tendency to fall asleep before it's my turn. So I can fully understand this. And he withdrew. All right. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus doesn't want to do this. His body is saying, this is going to hurt. I'm not going to do it. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Think about that. What happens when angels appear? People fall down and pretend they're dead, or are dead in some cases. And this angel appeared to Jesus and strengthened him. Okay? Strengthened him. Next verse. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. That doesn't sound like very much strength, does it? Doesn't sound like very much support. But what would it have been if the angel hadn't been there? I mean, this was intense, very intense. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. They were having personal problems. They were having problems dealing with what Jesus had told them and that kind of thing. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So did Jesus know what he was asking them to do?
Yes.
He had angelic help, and still he was in agony, and blood was coming out through his skin. And I'm not a sweater, as in perspiration. I've had a few times where I've had sweat actually dripping off me. It just doesn't, not my bodily makeup, okay? But that is pretty intense, to have it looking like blood and dripping off of you. So Jesus knew exactly what he was asking them to do. He knew that he was going to not get any sleep, for one thing, for the next rest of his life, I suppose. And he was probably already short on sleep. I think I've heard somebody talk about that, how long he had been without sleep. And he knew that he was asking them to do a hard thing. Pay attention and pray. And yet they still failed. They still slept. They still didn't have any clue what was about to happen. In about 15 minutes, there's going to be a mob coming over the hill with torches and swords, and there's going to be bloodshed, and you guys are all going to be scared to death. You're sleepy right now, but you are not going to be in about 15 minutes. And I think that applies very well to us. This year is a perfect example. Who in the world would have thought this year would happen in the circumstances that it has? Okay, shifting just a little bit here. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. (clears throat) 23 through 31. All right. We have Peter and John have been... they healed the lame man. He was jumping and leaping in the temple, and everybody was excited and paying a lot of attention. And the rulers did not like it, the Jewish rulers. And so they were brought before the group. I'm not quite sure what the name of that group was at this moment. But anyway, they were being threatened. They were told, do not teach in this man's name again. They couldn't deny the miracle, but they said, don't teach. Stop it. Don't do this anymore. Okay. So they were released. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly, in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. That's their request there, buried in the middle of this. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So, all these scriptures have something to do with prayer. So, This one is an example of public prayer. They started with praise, then they got into scripture, quoting scripture, which is kind of indirect praise because it was a prophecy, and they're basically saying, Lord, you knew this was going to happen, and this is where you said it, and it's happened. And so we're praising you for this. And we're asking you to help us to continue doing what we've been doing with boldness. They're scared. They've been threatened by the elders and the... important people, the rulers of the time in the Jewish section. And they were told not to do this. And here they're gonna do it anyway and with boldness. So that's their resolve. That's what they want God to help them with. And so what happens right after that in verse 30? It says, this is still in their prayer. It says, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So why were miracles done? Miracles were done to verify that what the person was saying was true, that God was with them in that. And so immediately after their prayer, the place is shaken and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, which they already had. And so they received a little more like a boost of some sort. But they had verification that their prayer was answered. So they were able to go out with boldness. And with this resolve. And this is what surprised me, is this resolve. And so, actually, I'm going to go to 2 Thessalonians. For a book with a 2 in front of it, you'd think it would be bigger than it is. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 1. 11 through 12. And the whole point of this is to encourage myself and you to pray more, okay? In our current situations we are in and comparing them to what they were in, and this is kind of what I learned here. Okay, so starting in verse 11. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I read that, right in the middle it says, and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. So I have these ideas all the time. And we'll stick with the spiritual ones. But spiritual ones, how many of those have I actually followed up with and followed through with? And that's what I thought of when I read this. Well, I should do that. And then, that would be too awkward, or that's way out of my comfort zone, or I'm too scared to do that. And God goes, perfect. That's exactly where I want you. Because then it's not you doing it, it's God doing it, not me. And so that's what I thought of here. And then I thought of James 4, 13 through 17. And it got a little more painful. James 4, 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. That hurts. And it's a little clearer, I think, now, because I think I've had these good ideas. Maybe they weren't my ideas. Maybe they were given to me by God. And I chickened out. I didn't follow through with them. This house right over here is a good example. I get tired of figuring out whose house it is. But there's been multiple people who have lived there. And I can think of at least two of them. I wanted to go talk to them and offer to have Bible studies with them. So both of those guys are gone now. And they're on a new, I think they're getting ready to close on new owners. So here we go. Third time's a charm, maybe. So that's at least one specific instance I can think of where I chickened out. Just couldn't make myself do it. Well, maybe I should have prayed about it. Maybe I should have asked God for his help in that specific instance. Should have asked him, help me ask Clay. Help me ask Jesse. Help me ask whoever the new people are. Okay. Okay, Philippians 4. Now a little good news. I really like Philippians. I knew this verse was in Philippians, but I couldn't find it because I have so many things underlined and marked up. I couldn't figure out which mark meant what. Finally, I asked Joy, and she told me where it was. So. Okay. Philippians 4. Where did it go? Okay, 11b, so it means it's partway through. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be, that didn't come out right. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Think about that. Now, I know I've read a lot more verses. I had a lot of them. And I cut them out. And I kept cutting. And I kept cutting. But I still had them running around in my head. So there's all kinds of verses in there where the writer of the book says, all right, we're praying for you in this way, in this way, in this way, in this way. It sounds kind of bossy almost. Like he's pushing people around, like this is the way you're supposed to be and act and this kind of thing, and I'm praying for you, so you got to do it. And then at the end of the book, it'll say, and pray for us as well. And he wants that prayer returned. He wanted that same prayer for himself. He wanted that returned. So many times it's in there, multiple times. And here, Paul is saying he knows how to survive all these not-so-nice things, or some very nice things. He knows how to survive all of them, and it is through Christ. It's through Christ. That's the secret. I can do all things through Christ, through Him who strengthens me. So, when I'm trying to chicken out of doing something, I should remember that and pray about it. And then when I'm concerned about something, I should pray about it. When it's a situation that is beyond me, I can't really do much to affect it, I should pray about it. There isn't hardly anything, there's nothing that I can think of right at the moment I shouldn't pray about. And the more uncertain the times, the more we should pray. Okay. I cannot tell what time it is. I think it's like 20 till. Is that correct? Okay. I'm assuming I'm right. Okay. 1 Timothy 2 and 1. I'm almost done. Take heart. Okay. First Timothy 2:1-8. Oh. Yeah, this is one of the ones I was going to cut out. And then I got to reading it again. And thought, well, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. All right, so we're not cutting that one out. Okay. 1 Timothy 2:1-8. Think of prayer. Why would you pray? We have all the symptoms of needing prayer. Okay, we're tired. We're depressed. We're scared. We are too weak. That whole list. We definitely need prayer, and this is why we do it. Okay, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, has all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He knows, understands, all that stuff. By the command of God our Savior and Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from... I'm in the wrong... All right. Never mind. Next chapter. All right. Chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings. I think he's covered prayer. I think there's four different names for it there. Thanksgivings be made for all people. All people. For kings and all who are in high positions. That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. Godly and dignified in every way. This is good. And it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. To come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the reason, right? That's why we're praying for all people, even the ones we don't like, even the ones we wish would die and go away, even the ones that we love and hold very close. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men. What's men stand for? All people. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher, an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles, in faith and truth. I desire that in every place... All right, let me try that again. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger and quarreling. We have some situations in our country that I am... highly charged over, I guess you could say. You might not know that. I I apologized for getting angry at somebody on the phone, and they said, "Oh, you were angry?" So that kind of hurt, but anyway. I get kind of charged up about some things, not to go into it, but... And this covers it perfectly. Pray for all men, all people, for kings and all who are in high positions. Oh, okay. That they come to know the truth. Okay, I can handle that. That they come to know the truth. That would be wonderful. And then we should lift up holy hands without anger and quarreling. Oh, that's difficult. I just want to... You know what another name for an arrow is? Is a quarrel. I just like to stick an arrow in that thing. But that's not what God wants. Not what God wants. All right, let's go back to Luke 22. The song we sang for the Lord's table, it said right underneath this title, says Luke 22:44, I think. One verse off. So close. Okay. Actually, two verses, because it's 46 I'm most interested in. And when he rose from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And we fit that so well. We're caught up in our sorrow, in our problems. And it's nighttime. I'm supposed to be sleeping. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." And there are so many temptations. So many. So those are my thoughts for this morning. Prayer is a wonderful tool. We can talk to God. And we should take full advantage of that. I should take full advantage of that. And it's for repentance and confession, and praising God, and for asking for help, for asking for strength, saying, "God, I can't do this. I keep tripping over this thread in the carpet over and over and over again. Or I'm worried about this and I can't do anything about that. Lord, please help me with this." And he'll do it. One way or another, God will help you. And we'll offer the invitation this time. If you don't have this in your tool bag, you need to get it in your tool bag. You need Christ's blood to cover you and have your sins forgiven, because it is a wonderful thing to be able to think of standing before God or lying on your face before God. Either position would be fine. And being all right with God. You can think of Daniel, Mary, they were scared to death, and they were reassured that God was happy with them. That would be a wonderful thing. And that's what Christ's blood does for us. We'll offer the invitation as we stand and sing.